Amen. Good to be in the house of God this morning. Amen. Appreciate the opportunity to be back here at Island Ford. And what a joy it has been with you, to be with you this week. And truly, truly in our honor. I hate that we weren't able to come as early as we like to and fellowship through the day. We've been gone for several weeks and had several things come up. And then with my wife with the migraine, I appreciate you being understanding, and we're so thankful for the opportunity. I'm thankful for the meeting. I'm thankful for liberty. I'm thankful for the Spirit of God working, and that's somewhat unusual in this day, to be honest with you. And so, when God is evidently working in our midst, I don't ever want to take the time or miss the opportunity to tell Him thank you. Amen. Yeah. Amen. We're so undeserving of His presence. And then for Him to be mindful of us is just beyond me. But so thankful for the opportunity to be with you. Thank you for your hospitality. And we thank you for the gift basket again. And all that was supplied. Your sacrifice on our behalf. And we truly are grateful this morning. Amen. And it truly has been a joy to be here. All right. Revelation chapter number 20. The book of Revelation in chapter number 20. Thank God for Calvary. Amen. Amen. I'm glad He loved us. Amen. Preacher, He got my mind just a running. He made a statement, and I'm telling you, my mind's just been running ever since. To think that God loved us so much that He'd be willing to send His Son to die for us. And His desire was to be pleased with us. Y'all see the disconnect there. You and I, as pathetic as we are, and He would go through such great extent so that He could look on us and be pleased. It's amazing thought. That is going to be fulfilled. That's what I preached Friday night. That's what's going to be fulfilled. When He sees the bride purified and we stand before Him, for the first time, He's going to look at us for who we are, and He's going to be pleased. But lest we get boastful, we'll have to turn around and see the reason why we've been made what we've been made as the bride of Christ, why we possess. And then we'll realize that all the glory still belongs to Jesus. Amen. Amen. Everything that we are is only being in Christ. Amen. By the way, that was the joy that was set before Him.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Amen. That moment, I believe, there's going to be so much joy in the heart of the Father and so much joy in the heart of His Son when that bride is presented. Yes. You and I will bring Him so much joy. That He would be willing to endure. You understand that this thing was foreordained before the foundation of the world? Amen. That moment is the moment in time that God chose before He even said, let there be light. That's an amazing thought. Amen. 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 By the way, He did choose us. Amen. I'm not a Calvinist, but He did choose us. But He chose us in Him. And in that moment, we're going to realize everything that we are and everything that we are going to possess is because of Him. Amen. 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 We haven't been able to even grasp that in our mind. Otherwise, we'd really worship Him. Like Brother Josh talked about this morning. We'd really worship Him. Understanding who He is. But in that day, we'll know who He is. Praise God. Amen. We'll know exactly who He is. Oh my, what a day. That's going to be. All right. But Revelation chapter number 20, I had desired to go to Psalms 106. I desired to go to Judges chapter 1. I desired to be in Joshua. I mean, I had a lot of desires this morning. Amen. But I felt like maybe I was going to be in the book of Joshua, but this morning I woke up and God the Holy Ghost just said Revelation 20. Amen. So this is where we're going to be at. And really, one of the points, I guess, what I preach this week is one point out of a series, and we're going to skip a point and hit another one. Amen. Hopefully it don't take us three services to get through this one. Amen. Don't panic. They all fix and run. It's all done. I'm just picking. Revelation chapter number 20. And let's start reading in verse number 5. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him, praise God, 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. That's what our sister just sang about. Amen. Where the beast and the false prophet are. And shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the day. Thank you for the privilege that it is to be saved by the grace of God. Thank you, Lord, for an opportunity that you've given us just to be in your house. Liberty to still open up the wonderful words of life and preach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you, dear God, Lord, for what you have done this week. Thank you for meeting the needs for the marathon. And we thank you, Lord, for blessing in the revival. We thank you for the privilege just to be a part of it. Lord, we bless your name and we honor you for the opportunity that you've given us to serve you. But Lord, this morning as we come together, Lord, we are in desperate need of your touch once again. Lord, in need of fresh oil and a feeling of God. And I pray that you will now loose us and give us that liberty. Through the power of the Spirit of God, give us clarity of thought and clarity of speech. And I pray that the Word of God would truly be anointed in the message, that the preaching, dear God, would find a resting place in every heart and life. Dear, with that soul, I pray that's on the way to hell. I pray that, Lord, that this morning you would throw up, Lord, one more roadblock, oh God, that would have them detour their path and choose the narrow way instead of the broad way. I pray, oh God, that eternity would become big, that eternity become real, and that eternity, Lord, would become about things eternal, oh Lord. I pray that, dear God, oh Lord, that you would awaken us, dear God, to our need. I pray that your will be done. May you please send revival. May your hand be upon this church in the coming days. In Jesus' name we do humbly ask. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I've got to loosen up this button. Amen. I want to deal with this morning, we have dealt with all week long, considering the thought of the judgment seat of Christ. But this morning, I want to preach simply on the great white throne judgment. The great white throne judgment. We understand that there is a great distinction between these thrones. And not just in time, but in place and in eternal time, if you will, and deal also with the people who will be present there. The judgment seat is going to follow the rapture and the resurrection of the saints of God who live now and who have died and went on. Amen. And so the judgment seat is going to take place after that calling away takes place. Amen. When the bridegroom says, come up hither, amen, we are going to arise. We'll be caught together, amen, to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. The church will face that judgment seat, that purification of the bride that we have dealt with. However, there are going to be those that live upon this earth now, that are breathing air, I believe, now. I believe Jesus Christ is on the verge of coming back end in day. And it could happen before we get out of here. The next breath, we could be our last one, and that don't bother me a bit. Amen. I'm ready to go home. But I'm telling you, there are those that are drawing breath in these days that are going to, I believe, stand and still exist and breathe air after the rapture of the saints of God. Amen. When the church has been gone, amen, it is then too late for you to be saved. We understand that there'll be those that get saved in the tribulation period. We understand that's going to take place through the Word of God. But I do not believe for one minute that anyone that has been, that is going to, or breathed there in this dispensation of grace, amen, that has been presented with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, will have any ability to be saved, amen, during the tribulation period. The rapture is going to take place. The church is gone. Just like it was in the days of Lot, amen. He could not bring judgment until Lot was taken away. Amen. He desired to bring judgment. Even Lot in his unrighteous condition, his vexed condition. Amen. He did not want to leave. And the angel told him, I'm bringing you out one way or the other because I can't bring judgment until you're gone. Amen. And so I don't care how corner the church is. If you're part of the church, he's coming to get you. Amen. You don't get a vote in the matter. He comes and we're out of here. Amen. He'll check us out whether we're ready or not to meet the Lord. But when we're gone, the remnant that is holding back the wrath and the judgment of God to fall upon this earth will be taken away. And when he that only letteth will do less was taken out of the way, the judgment seat, the judgment of God and the wrath of God is going to fall upon this world. Amen. God's going to bring great judgment. If you are left here, if the rapture did take place and you are not saved and you are left here, you will be left to face the wrath of God. Truth of it is more likely you ain't going to make it very long. Amen. As such, catastrophic events will follow. Over a third of humanity is going to be wiped off in one swoop. Amen. And then the rest is going to take place and many are going to die from pestilence and disease and famine and war fallout and everything else that's prophesied of considering the tribulation period. But at that point, amen, mankind is going to face the judgment and the wrath of God upon this earth for their rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We understand that it's God dealing with Israel and it is Jacob's trouble that will take place. Amen. Amen. So that is what's going to take place here. We understand that it's going to come at an end in 7 years. 7 year tribulation period, and it's going to be all said and done. It's going to be ended when Jesus comes back at the Valley of Armageddon, when he comes and plants his foot upon the Mount Olives. Amen. Amen. When he steps on that mountain, he'll split it wide open, make the way of escape for those trapped Jews. Amen. And with the word of his mouth, he'll slay the wicked. The blood will run to the horse's bridle. Amen. As he descends into that valley and treads out his enemies like a wine press. Amen. Amen. The blood blood's going to flow, but he will come out victorious. Amen. And the prophet and the beast will be changed and put away for all of eternity. But Satan himself, amen, will be put away 1,000 years. You and I, amen, who are saved by the grace of God and have come through the fire of that purification and that purging, amen, we, robed in the righteousness of the saints, will follow him. Amen. As bad as I want to get involved in that kind of battle, you and I ain't going to be able to do a thing. Amen. We sit back and say amen and cheer our Lord and Savior on as he defeats the wicked. Amen. So that day, what a day that's going to be. Praise God for that. But then the 1,000 years are going to take place. He'll sit upon David's throne, the first king's throne that God the Father promised his son. I'm trying to get there. Amen. That's going to take place at the millennial reign. God is God the Son is going to sit upon that throne, that rightful throne. Amen. The curse is going to be lifted. Amen. And the world is going to know true peace upon this earth. Amen. It's going to go 1,000 years. Curse is going to be lifted. I mean, if a man dies at 100 years old, he dies as a child, the Bible says. I mean, it's going to be unbelievable. The what is going to take place and how wonderful it's going to be. Man's going to be endued with full knowledge of God. Amen. He's going to have full knowledge of God. The fullness of the Spirit of God is going to be indwelled upon this earth. I'm telling you, it's going to be a wonderful place. It's going to be a holy place. The bells that ring on the horses will cry out, holiness unto the Lord. The pots of clay will cry out, holiness unto the Lord. I'm talking about this earth. I'm talking about this earth right now. This earth is going to be a place of holiness. Amen. It's going to be a place filled with people that worship him and worship God alone. Amen. The devil will have no say and he'll have no influence for 1,000 years. Amen. It's going to be all about who is worthy, and that is Jesus. Amen. What a day. What a day. You and I get to be a part and reign with him as extension from that throne. Amen. Amen. It could be Brother Fairhope Shepherd's in charge. Amen. Amen. With in Madisonville, Kentucky, with Brother Gary Hall. What about that? Amen. I'm telling you, it's going to be a wonderful time upon this earth as we reign with the Lord. Yet 1,000 years is going to come and go. And when that 1,000 years comes to an end, Satan is going to be loosed for the final test of man. And when he is loose, we understand, according to Revelation chapter number 20, that he is going to go to the far quarters of the earth, and he is going to deceive many. I'm talking about a number that's greater than the sand of the sea. I'm talking about a number that can't be numbered. He'll deceive many. Now, it's hard to fathom. If you're in the presence of God, you know God reigning upon this earth. Such holiness is expected, and such holiness is evident. The full knowledge of God and the holiness of God, the worship that's going to take place. And people are going to experience that and still reject Jesus as the Lord. Amen. What it's going to come down to, I don't care if the curse did get lifted. Amen. Man and his depravity cannot be fixed. Amen. He has no hope in himself. That's the whole point. Amen. And so what God's going to do in that final test, he is going to prove that man is hopeless. And in one instant, amen, God is not going to destroy just his enemy with the word of his mouth. But in that moment, fire of God will fall from heaven. And when that fire falls, it will consume every enemy. Amen. Every adversary, everyone who's ever resisted the Lord in their heart, it'll finally be over. Praise God. And then those that have been accepted in one instance, amen, that will be translated into glory to stand before the great white throne judgment. In a moment, we will stand at the great white throne judgment. You and I who are saved will stand there as witnesses of what's taking place. But God will allow all the dead, both small and great, who have died in rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ, will stand at that judgment, at that great white throne judgment. Now, when that day takes place, there's some things that are going to happen that I want to try to touch on at the great white throne judgment. Number one, may I say that it's going to involve the extermination of the devil himself. Amen. Amen. He got put away for 1,000 years. Amen. When Jesus come in that millennial reign. Amen. But he got loose. But I'm telling you, after that 1,000 years and he does his best to overthrow the Lord. Amen. His last final attempt and his great act. It'll be all over after that. By the way, let me just go ahead and tell you this. Amen. I feel like preaching about right now. Amen. The devil already lost. Amen. He done already lost this thing. You know where he lost it? He lost it at Calvary. Praise God. Amen. Jesus already defeated him at Calvary. He's finished. Amen. That serpent's head came and hooked onto the bruised heel of the sovereign God of heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. And all he could do was bruise his heel. But the moment he put his fangs into that heel, the heel come down and he crushed the head of the serpent. Amen. Every bit of poison that he could give, every bit of damage he could do, all he could do was bruise his heel. But the heel bruised, come down and finish his head. Amen. Satan has been rendered useless. Amen. He's been replaced. I believe to that point, Satan had a place in glory. I believe he had his accuser at the right hand of the throne, is what I believe. And he's bringing accusation after accusation to the saints of God. But when Jesus finished him at Calvary, praise God, and finished him and put his heel through his head. Amen. What he did was remove the accuser from the right side of the throne and kick him out, and Jesus took his place sitting on the mercy seat on the throne of grace. Amen. And there he now lives, ever to make intercession for you and I. So the accuser, he may come and he may bring up your debt and bring up your past, but praise God, there's no voice to be heard in heaven, because as he begins to bring accusation, amen, Jesus is there crying over here, here's the blood, here's the blood, here's the blood. Amen. I'm no longer in condemnation. Praise God. He's finished. Amen. Matter of fact, the only thing that he's ever able to do in his power is what God has already allowed him to do, or has already foreordained for him to do. In other words, when he comes in that great work of that tribulation period, when that takes place, do you know that he cannot, Satan himself cannot accomplish what has to be accomplished to set up his beast as God, where they worship him as God? He can't even do that unless God helps him out. God has to send him strong delusion, because they'll never believe that the beast is God, because of the witness of Calvary, and the witness in creation will be too strong. They'll never believe that the beast is God unless God helps the devil out. Amen. I'm telling you, unless God enables and has so chosen for the devil to be used, you understand the devil's acting like a puppet right now. And he'll act that way till God's done with him. He's serving a purpose, but his power is finished. His kingdom is over. Amen. Praise God for grace. Amen. We've won the victory. Amen. It's already been over. He's as good as done. Amen. That final day. But right now, he's like, I understand he makes havoc. I understand he causes issues. Amen. I understand God allows what he allows. But I'm here to tell you, he's finished. Amen. And praise God for the day when he's finally done away with. Amen. And he'll never trouble his creation. He'll never bother what he does when that new heaven and that new earth is put in place. Amen. There'll be no chance for the devil to do a thing. Praise God. He'll be put away and fixed. Amen. Completely, eternally exterminated from existence. He'll be put in the lake of fire where the beast and the prophet are. Amen. Forever and ever locked in chains. He'll never get out again. Amen. What a day that'll be. The extermination of the devil. Then there's the incineration of dust. We're going to be translated to the great white throne. That great white throne, we'll be standing there with the Lord. The dead are going to be raised. But in that moment, amen, when that resurrection takes place, this dirt ball we call earth and the heavens surrounding, God's present will forsake it. He'll leave it. Amen. And by him, all things consist. But when he's taken out of the way, it will no longer exist. But God is going to melt the heavens with a fervent heat. Are you hearing me? Amen. The fire is going to fall. Everything in this earth, everything that we love, amen. Everything we cherish about, like I preached this week, is going to burn. It's going to burn. It's going to melt away. It's going to melt. It's going to be dissolved. Amen. I personally believe it's going to be dissolved into a lake of fire, in my own opinion. Amen. And I believe that in that moment when it's dissolved and those atoms explode, amen, what's going to take place? God, there will be found no place for it. It'll flee from the face of God himself, the one who sits upon the great white throne. Amen. Amen. Seeing then, child of God, that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Amen. The incineration of dirt, he'll do away with him. The resurrection of the dead is going to take place. He's going to resurrect the dead. Amen. He'll resurrect them from the sea. And he'll resurrect them from death and hell. I believe there's a significance there. You don't have to believe this. But I believe what that represents there is the reason why this is set apart from the sea and from death and hell. I believe that the sea, burial and water, is emphasized, isolated on the world's destruction before the flood. I believe it's letting you know they're going to be resurrected. And then those that have been buried in the dirt, the grave is going to be also emphasized. And it's also going to bring about those that have been destroyed or have died from the fire or from the flesh. So there is going to be a resurrection. In other words, everybody that has died outside of the church, because we've already been raptured, amen. But everybody then that's not been saved is going to stand at this great white throne. Both, the Bible says, both small and great. No exclusions. Amen. There's going to be nobody missing. Right. Amen. Not one soul will be unaccounted for. Right. Oh, what a day it will be. Amen. I'm glad to know I'm saved. Amen. Amen. But if you're not saved, if you're not born again, and you refuse to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and repent of sin, this is the judgment that you will be called to stand at. This is the judgment you will have to give an account for at the great white throne judgment. There is going to be this resurrection, and at that resurrection there'll be the recall, if you will. There will be the calling of the names. Every individual will stand before God. They're going to stand before this judge. I personally believe that to be the Lord Jesus Christ again, as all judgment has been given unto the Son. They're going to give an account to the Lord why they would not accept him as Lord. Not that they wouldn't make him Lord. He's already Lord. You can't make him Lord. You can accept him as Lord. Amen. But he is Lord. And in that day when he steps onto that throne and he is seated on that great white throne, I promise you, whenever knee is called, whenever name is called, every knee will bow before him and they will call him Lord. But it'll be too late to call him Lord then. They'll still call him Lord, but it'll be too late. It'll be too late. Both small and great. I don't care what your name is. I don't care how insignificant you think you are. Amen. You're significant to God so much that he bleed and died for you. Right. Shed his blood to save your soul. You must give an account for your rejection, amen, of the grace of God. Amen. The resurrection of the dead. The examination of the documents. Mm-hmm. The examination of the documents. The Bible lets us know in the text that we read that there are going to be books, plural, there. And there's going to be the book of life that is represented there as well. I think about the books and I consider, and I believe I've got three, and I'm sure you could probably think of more. I believe Brother Mullins and I had a discussion not too long ago, and I think he's got like seven or something like that, but I'm not that deep of a thinker. But I believe there are at least three books that are going to be used to judge every man. I believe the first book is going to be the book of God's omniscience. I believe the first book that's going to be inspected, the first book that's going to be read, as a sinner has to give an account, as the individual has to give an account, the first book that's going to be read is the book of God's omniscience. And here's what that is. It's everything God knows about you. He's going to reveal everything that he knows about every sinner. What God knows. And he knows everything.
That's right.
He knows everything. He's going to know motive. He's going to know heart. He's going to know your mind. He's going to know every thought, every word. Much like that judgment seat. It's going to be all revealed to him.
Right.
Everything is going to be accounted for. He is going to reveal. And the reason why I say God's omniscience is because God knows us better than we know us.
Right.
So he's going to reveal to them what he knew about them that they didn't even know of themselves. He's going to show them how depraved they really were. How defiled they really were. How darkened in their mind they really were. He's going to reveal it to them. God's omniscience. And then he's going to reveal, he's going to pull out another book. And I believe it's going to be the book of man's conscience. He'll not only reveal what God knows about them, but he's going to reveal what they knew about themselves. You see, that's where it gets real. Amen. As God knows more than we can know about ourselves, but then, just so there's no excuse here, he's going to reveal what you knew about you. You see, that grace, that common grace, as Brother Mitchell would preach about, man's conscience. Everybody's got one. Your conscience can't save you. Just because you can discern between good and bad doesn't mean you're saved. Shock and awe right there. Amen. Matter of fact, amen, hell's going to be filled with a whole lot of good people. Just good old boys. Good old country boys. Good old, they're just honest, hardworking people. And hell's going to be filled with them. Because the truth of it is, in their conscience, God is going to pick apart their mind and going to reveal it. And he's going to reveal what they knew about themselves. Because every man knows he can't match up to God.
That's right.
There's no way.
Right.
Can't match up to God. Can't match up to his expectation of perfection and holiness.
Right.
And so man is going to be revealed. He's going to be weighed in the balance of his own understanding about himself. And he is going to be found wanting. God's going to reveal, he's going to take a book, the book of his omniscience, and he's going to reveal to man what he knew about him. And then he's going to take the book of man's conscience and he's going to reveal what man knew about himself. And then I believe he's going to take this King James Bible, this blessed word of God, and the book will come and stand witness against you. It's not just what God knew about you, and it's not just what you knew about yourself, but then God is going to interject the book that, yes, revealed to you what you were, and revealed to you that God did know you, amen, and revealed to you that what you were was a sinner, but then, amen, for the grace of God that came through the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel message that came to where you was at, praise God, as the book is being given, as the book has opened, this book and every message and every story, every, praise God, every teacher, every lesson, every application will come against you as it revealed to you in your life the need for you to be saved. You'll have no excuse. This book takes away the excuse. Amen. God's books are going to be brought against that individual, individual by individual by individual. Those who died, I don't care. Those who died young and rejected the Lord and slipped off into eternity. Those that died old, those that died good, those that died wicked, they'll all stand and they'll all give the account, and it's all going to boil down to one thing. They deserve a hell.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Preacher, that's pretty tough. I'm telling you, you might as well, if you understand just how holy He is, you'll understand that there's not one of us breathing air this morning that doesn't deserve hell. You deserve hell, and I deserved hell. Amen. Praise God. If it wasn't for the grace of God, we'd probably all be there right now. But I'm telling you, the grace of God came to where we was at, lifted us up, praise God, and changed our life, changed our direction, amen, and changed our destination, praise the Lord, amen. But we all came to a place, amen, as sinners where we understood that a holy God was not pleased with us. He was only pleased with His Son. We put faith in Him, repented from our sin, got in Christ, got accepted in the blood. But you won't make that choice until you understand you deserved hell.
That's right.
That you were a sinner and an enmity with God. That's what this book reveals.
Yes, sir.
Amen. You can know everything about yourself and you can, amen, know what you are. Amen. But this book, what brings the condemnation, as it's the law that entered and taught men about sin. Amen. Amen. The book of His omniscience, the book of man's conscience, the book of the law. Then it's going to be the book of life. The book of life is going to be opened. And you're going to be examined from the book of life. And all it is going to look for the record of your salvation. That's what it's looking for. The record of your salvation. I'm going to ask you a question this morning. I'm not trying to get anybody to doubt. I ain't trying to cause anybody to fear. I'm just trying to preach on the great white throne judgment because it's a reality. But I need you to ask yourself a question in your heart. Are you saved?
Amen.
Do you know that you're saved?
Right. Amen.
Amen. I don't need you to give me a date.
Right.
I think mine was February 95. I believe that's probably at least pretty close to where it was at. But I never wrote it down. But I know I got saved.
Amen.
I haven't never forgot the night.
Right.
I never got over conviction.
Amen.
I mean, I couldn't sleep at night.
Yep.
I couldn't sleep at night. I'd crawl out of that bunk bed and I'd put my hand over my brother's nose to feel his breathing because I was so scared of being by myself.
Yep.
Had to go to mom and daddy's room in the middle of the night just to hear my dad snoring.
Yeah.
Amen. I was scared to death being by myself. I scared the rapture was taking place and I'd be left. As God dealt with my heart. As a 7-year-old boy, I was that scared.
Amen.
That's God, the Holy Ghost. That's the most miserable time of my life.
Right.
Oh, but praise God for the night. Amen. When by faith I put my trust in Jesus.
Amen.
Came to that altar at Pleasantview Baptist Church in Taylor, South Carolina on the right side of that communion table. I hit that altar. With a heart of faith, trusting the Lord, sorry for my sin. Oh, God revealed to me what it was in that moment. Amen. And I repented of what I was, told Him I was sorry, and I begged Him to save my wretched soul from hell. And praise God, what a difference it made.
Amen.
When Jesus came on the inside.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I don't have it recorded down, but I'm telling you, praise God, it was recorded.
Amen.
Amen. I don't care if I spend the rest of my life not knowing the day. When I step over yonder, I'll tell you the date then. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I know it happened. Amen. Because of the work that took place in my heart. My salvation. Amen. It's real. It was recorded in the day I got saved. Amen. Do you have a moment when God changed your life? Boy, if you do, amen. You ought to praise God for it every now and again.
Amen.
Amen. You ought to bless His name of it. I'll not be ashamed to tell it. Amen. Praise God. If He saved you, you ought to tell it everywhere you go. Hallelujah. He saved us. The recorded salvation. But I tell you what else. It not only has a recorded record of your salvation, but it has, amen, information concerning your relationship with the Savior. And here's what I mean by that. There are going to be those that will stand before the Lord and their names are not going to be found. Not going to be found there. Matter of fact, probably majority of this crowd is not going to be found there. I mean, the only ones that would be found there, millennial saints, if them at all. But at this point in time, those that are standing before God at the great white throne judgment are lost in their sin. Many of these have just been plucked out of hell. To stand at the great white. I'm talking about the smoke still ain't cleared off of them. Some of them in there for thousands of years. And they're going to stand before God and give the account of their salvation or lack thereof, I should say. So here they are. They're going to stand before God. Matthew chapter number 7 gives us a look at it, and I can't have time to preach with all this, but Matthew chapter number 7 gives us a look at those false prophets that are going to stand before God, and they're going to stand there and they're going to say, Lord, Lord. They'll call Him Lord. By the way, I ain't got time to preach this message, but I'm just telling you, every time you find Lord, Lord mentioned in the Bible, twice, together, back to back like that, it's never good. There's so much pride, there's so much boasting there. Lord, Lord. It's almost like a command, a demand that's taking place. Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Thy name? And in Thy name did we not cast out devils? And in Thy name did we not do many wonderful works? God's not going to argue with them of what they did. He's not going to argue with them. But He's going to look at that crowd and He's going to say, depart from Me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. I don't care if they do call Him Lord. Lord, I know who You are. You know who I am. Amen. I did all this stuff for You and I sung in the choir and I sung specials and I taught Sunday school. And there are going to be those that say, I preached and I prophesied. Amen. I cast out devils. God didn't call them a liar about that, but either, by the way. Amen. They're going to have a list of things they accomplished probably more than you and I will. But God is going to look at them and it's not about them calling Him Lord. And that moment, it's too late to call Him Lord. The problem is, it's God didn't know them. Amen. You can have a salvation, you understand, that you claim, a profession that you claim is your own, but unless you know Him and He knows you, your name will not be found in the book of life. So go ahead, claim that moment where you hit the altar and you said that little prayer and it never changed you and it never gave you a relationship with God. You have no fellowship with Him. He can't deal with you, can't reprove you. Amen. He doesn't discipline you as a father does a child. Amen. He doesn't guide you in truth. He doesn't conform you. Amen. You can sin and get by with it. I'm telling you, if you've got that kind of salvation, I wouldn't die with it.
Amen.
I wouldn't go another day.
That's right.
Holding on to a profession that never provided a relation with the Lord.
That's right.
Amen. And I'm telling you, there are pews that are filled this morning with people that are holding on to a profession they made in some point in time in their life and a date, and they never got it.
Right.
It never changed them.
Right.
They go through the motions, they go through expectations, and they perform this thing of Christian living. There's no realness to it. There's no depth to it. There's nothing there. Nothing. And I'm telling you, in that day, you notice that crowd that's calling Him Lord, Lord. They're giving out everything they've done for the Lord, but not one time do they go and tell them when He got, they never take the Lord back when they said they got saved. Did you notice that? They never one time say, Lord, right here's where I got saved.
Right.
I'm sure all of them had some point in time where they hadn't made a profession.
Right.
But not one time they take the Lord back there. You know why? They didn't have confidence in it either.
Uh-huh.
They knew the Lord was going to laugh at that one because they didn't believe it either. They had no relationship with the Lord in spite of all the things that they did. All the things that they did that were good. All the things that they were did in ministry and in Jesus' name. They had no relationship.
Amen.
You have a relationship with God?
Amen.
Or you just name His name?
Yep. Amen. There you go. Amen.
You call yourself a Christian. Well, the world is filled with people. Brother Josh talking about this morning. They call themselves Christians,
right, right.
But they don't know the Christ.
Right. Amen.
They don't know Him as Christ. They don't know Him as Lord. They don't know Him as their Savior. The book of life will reveal the authenticity of their relationship with the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The book of life will determine one's destiny. Heaven or hell. That's the only two choices you got. It's heaven or it's hell. It's that simple. There's no purgatory. There's no in between. It's heaven or hell. And the book of life will determine which destiny. But I believe the books are going to determine the degree of punishment.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I believe the books are going to determine one's degree of punishment. He told Tyre and Sidon, and he told Sodom and Gomorrah,
yep,
it's going to be more tolerable for you in the day of judgment than it will be. I believe Capernaum was listed in that name. It's going to be more tolerable for you in the day of judgment. More tolerable. I believe there's going to be degrees of punishment. The scary thing about that is God, the Lord Jesus Christ spent more time in Capernaum than He did anywhere else in His earthly ministry. More time there than anywhere. Did more miracles there than anywhere. Preached there more than anywhere. And Capernaum refused Him, is what they did. The scary part about that is this. In this generation, I'm afraid we've raised young people and they're going to step off and turn into eternity without God, knowing so much truth. And I'm telling you, the truth has doomed them to the hottest parts of hell.
Yes, sir.
I'm telling you, you walk out of this building this morning, not saved, not ready to meet God, haven't heard truth, and God the Holy Ghost dealing with your heart, when you stand before Him rejecting His truth, rejecting His Spirit, rejecting the convicting power of God, I'm telling you, the hottest part of hell
right
is waiting for you.
Yep.
I'm not saying that in wrath. I'm not saying that in meanness. I'm saying that in boldness and confidence.
Right.
You cannot get by rejecting Him as Lord. You, He will not let it slide. Right now He's offering you and He's dealing with you with grace and He's extending mercy. You can get it right. You don't have to live in sin. You can repent and you can find forgiveness. But if you die that way, you're on your own. You'll stand before God by yourself. There'll be the recognition of His divinity. The honorable judge will sit upon that throne. The deception of their defense. They'll have to give an account on their own. You will have no intercessor. You need to understand that. Your pastor will not come and try to convince the Lord for you. Amen.
Yes,
it ain't. It won't happen.
Right.
There's not a friend that'll stand up there with you
right.
and try to persuade the Lord
right.
any different
right.
than what the outcome of the books are.
Right.
It ain't gonna happen.
Right.
No mediator, no intercessor, no advocate. He's the advocate right now,
right.
but He comes up off of that throne in the rapture. Amen. There will be no more advocate.
That's
I think about the Catholics that stand there. They put their faith and their trust in an intercessor, a man, a priest,
yep, right.
to go to God in their stead.
Mm-hmm.
And in that day, they'll stand before God and it'll be them and them alone.
Yes, right.
They'll look for that priest. They'll look for that mediator. They'll look for that intercessor. And they'll be hiding in the crowd somewhere. They won't come to their defense. There's nothing that they can say. Nothing. Man will be held guilty. The deception of their defense. The truth of it is, in Matthew chapter number 7, you hear them talking. They really thought they could talk the Lord into this thing. But there's no one going to defend your choice. There's no one going to defend your sin. There's no one that's going to defend your state and your condition except you. The rejection of their deliverance. No matter what case is presented, no matter what works are accomplished, no matter what you've done with your life, if you don't know the Lord, if your name's not written in the book of life, then the only answer, the only result is judgment and condemnation. He will decry, depart from me, I never knew you. The rejection of their deliverance is going to revolve around truth, what you know. And what God knows about you. The rejection of their deliverance is going to revolve around torment. They're going to be put in chains as the angels cast them off into the lake of fire. The lake of fire where hell, death and hell have been cast. Where it is reserved in judgment. Where Satan and the prophet and the beast await. That hell where the demons are and where the devils await. That hell is where every sinner that rejects God in His grace and in His mercy. Oh, that's where they're going to be cast. Yes, sir. In that prison. Physical torment of the flame that cannot be quenched. It's a fire that burns with such heat it cannot be stopped. They tell me the hottest flame known to man is invisible. You can't see it. And that flame, as long as it has fuel, it cannot be stopped. It cannot be quenched. You can't suffocate it. You can't smother it. You can't put it out. As long as it has some fuel. And I'm telling you, what is fueling the fires of hell will be the wrath and the holiness of God. And that, my friend, will never burn out. It'll be a flame, a fire that won't be quenched. Worms that will not die. That's just Bible. By the way, God the Lord preached more on hell than He did about heaven. Amen. I'm telling you, hell is real. It's not just a fairy tale. It's not a make-believe story. It's not a myth. It's a real place where real people go. Hell's burning in the heart of the earth. Every earthquake, every seismic shift is just hell enlarging itself to meet thee at thy coming. I'm telling you, hell's real. You die and go to hell, I'm telling you, you'll be plucked out of there for one moment of relief to stand before God in terrible fear, only to be cast away into the lake of fire. Into the lake of fire which burneth with brimstone. It has brimstone that won't burn. Or that it's constantly burning. That word brimstone literally means sulfur. Literally means sulfur. And sulfur, that when it melts, that gas that lets off, that sulfur oxide, when it comes off, it is suffocating. In hell, they're burning this morning. They're there with brimstone raining down. And that brimstone that's burning melts into lava. Lava giving off gas. They're literally drowning in a lake of fire. They cannot breathe, yet they cannot die. All the while their worm that God has sovereignly designed to torment them, their worm dieth not. Right. If you're led to give this to you, I read a description of a sea worm in the bottom of the ocean. This sea worm has no mouth, it has no ears, it has no eyes, it's a being that moves in and out of the ventilation that's to the heart of the earth at the bottom of the ocean, the deepest part of the ocean, that's where this worm lives. And it lives in those vents up to 300 something degrees, up to negative 80 something degrees in the bottom of the ocean. It just exists, whatever you put at it. Scientists say there's no way they can tell how this thing would even die. there in the bottom of the ocean where carcasses fall there, whales and fish and things of that nature, those worms live by inserting themselves into the fats and lipids of those carcasses. But they only do that to germinate. So that the acid that's in their body, they penetrate fat and lipid, the body of a whale, they penetrate it, and then they reproduce inside of it. And they live off of the sulfur dioxide that's coming out of the heart of the earth. That's what they exist on. That's where they get their nutrients from. I don't know that this is the worm that just talked about in the Bible, but I can tell you this. As bad as it is, or bad as we can think of it is, it's going to be a whole lot worse.
Right. Exactly.
And here's what's interesting is the Bible says it is their worm.
Yeah.
It is their worm. I personally believe that their worm, literally, if this is what it is that worm that pierces them to torment them, will reproduce inside of them, and they are literally being eaten alive with worms.
Mm-hmm.
For eternity.
Right.
Not a day.
Right.
Not 1,000 years.
Right.
Eternity.
Yep.
Brimstone burns. The worm that dieth not. Constantly falling. It's the bottomless pit. Constantly in darkness. Not just darkness, but outer darkness. There's weeping there. Weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Civil War, when they would amputate a man's leg or arm or whatever was wounded, they would put that musket ball inside of their mouth for them to bite down on, and they say that those men would be in such terrible pain they would bite right through it. And I'm telling you, in hell there'll be so much pain and so much torment that when they would somehow bump into another body, they'll be gnawing on them trying to find some kind of relief. It'll be no reunion. There'll be no beer party there. There'll be no honky-tonk going on in hell. Are you hearing me? It'll be the wrath of God being poured out on man's rejection of His grace. Physically tormented. They'll be mentally tormented. That rich man that died and went to hell. Oh, all he wanted was a drop of water. But I'm telling you what, the greatest torment was not the flame. It was not hell. It was not the worm. Amen. It was not the darkness. It was not anything like that. The greatest torment of the rich man was when Abraham said, "Son, remember." The mental torment of spending eternity and your mind playing back to a service maybe just like this one. Or another time where the gospel came to where you was at and the Holy Ghost of God pricked your heart and said you must be born again.
Amen.
Oh, be saved today as He draws you in love and draws you in compassion to receive the grace of God and escape this judgment. I'm telling you, your mind will remember every detail and you'll pray and you'll wish and you'll regret for eternity. Oh, that I would have received such a grace. Mentally tormented. Spiritually tormented. I believe the devils in hell will have their role in tormenting the inhabitants. By the way, hell wasn't created for sinners. Hell was not made for you. God did not make hell for you. God made hell for the devil and his angels. But if you allow your life to be governed by the Father, the devil, that's the Father, that's your Father if you're lost. And the lust of your Father ye will do. Amen. As children of the devil, I'm telling you, you'll end up in his house. You'll end up in the place that God reserved for him. They're physically tormented, they're mentally tormented, they're spiritually tormented, they are justly tormented. And the tolerance that will be given will be given to those, such as Tyre and Sidon and Sodom, as they responded. Now I'm telling you, there's a few mighty works done there. few mighty works done there. And he said, if the works had been done in Sodom and Gomorrah that were done in you, they would have repented. Now it's up to God why he didn't allow those works. Amen. It's up to God. But I'm telling you, they would have repented. And in those days, in hell, there'll be degrees of punishment. As those that have heard the gospel and had the opportunity to receive the grace of God, amen, and the goodness of the Lord in salvation, will be just chastened and judged more severely.
Yes, sir.
Amen. But then will come after the last one's been, and I'm telling you that day's going to come,
yes,
and they'll cast off into hell, and I'm telling you, our loved ones may be a part of that crowd.
Yes, sir.
Amen. We'll stand there at the great white throne, and every time it happens, we'll say amen.
Yep.
Because it'll be just.
Yep.
And he'll be right. Amen. That's exactly right. When that day happens, amen, when the last one's been done, when the last one's been judged, and the last one has stepped in that eternal death, amen, God then is going to take death, and he's going to do away with him too.
Amen.
There'll be the termination of death itself. Physical death was annulled by the resurrection. Amen. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I'm glad to know that resurrection. Amen. Praise God. I'm glad to have that hope of resurrection. Amen. Life after this, I'm glad this thing ain't over. Amen. I'm glad, amen, we check out of this life. We'll step through that resurrection one glorious day. Amen. And be with the Lord. I'm glad death was defeated at Calvary. Amen. Our forerunner in death through that resurrection, through the acceptance of the Father, God through the power of the Holy Ghost raised his Son from the dead. And those that are found in him, praise God, will know that resurrection. Amen. That physical death has been annulled by the resurrection. Spiritual death has been annulled by regeneration. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I know what it was like to be spiritually dead. I know what it was like. I know what it's like to be dead in trespasses and sin. Oh, to be captivated by the devil. Amen. To have my life dictated by the flesh and by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. I know what it was to be a sinner, but praise God for the day when I met Jesus. Amen. And the Holy Ghost moved up on the inside. There was a resurrection took place on the inside as I became regenerated, a new man in Christ. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Spiritual death becomes annulled by regeneration. But eternal death is never annulled. It is never annulled. Those that die this second death, it's for eternity. It's for eternity. Eternity is a long time. One preacher said, if you took the hourglass and for every million years, one grain of sand would fall. When the hourglass has dropped its last drop of sand, eternity would still just have begun.
That's right.
It's a long, long time. The great white throne judgment and the termination of death. But the great white throne judgment deals with separation from deity. Separation from deity. Truly, all hell is about is separation from God. Anything apart from him is just not worth living.
Right.
It's death. And the lake of fire will be separated from God. I personally, we understand through the word of God, and I'm not trying to ramble here, I'm trying to make a point, but we understand through the word of God that there will be found no place for earth. There will be found no place. We understand that the lake of fire is going to be ignited, if you will. It's going to exist for for the prison of every soul that's rejected the Lord. I believe personally that it's going to be held out in space for eternity. We understand reading the Word of God that the smoke of their torment is going to rise before the throne continually. The smoke of their torment is going to rise before the throne. You and I will be able to see that torment. The Bible lets us know, Old Testament, I forget the book, I believe it's Jeremiah. I may be wrong about that, but they're going to look and see the carcasses. We'll see the carcass. We'll see their torment. We'll witness it. Amen. But after we witness it, between that new heaven and that new earth and heaven with God, as we witness that and we're outside of that city, we'll step into that city, that great city, that new Jerusalem, and worship's going to pick up because we're going to realize what we deserved.
That's right.
And we'll realize what he did for us, what he saved us from, and we'll worship him. Listen to me. There's walls around that city.
Yep.
I had a pastor ask me, what in the world's the walls for? Walls are to keep things in and to keep things out. What are the walls for in the new city? And with sin and death gone, I don't know exactly what all's going to take place, but I personally believe that the walls simply are going to be means of separation. We'll see the wrath of God being poured out at the lake of fire. But when we step into those walls, we'll no longer see judgment, but all we'll see is grace and glory.
Amen.
Amen. We'll no longer be able to see it. But as we can't see out, they'll never see in. They'll be completely separated, isolated, blinded and darkened to the grace and the glory of God that's going to exist for eternity. Separated from God, separated from loved ones, separated from hope, separated from a second chance. Oh, tonight if I wasn't saved, or this morning if I was not saved, I'd run to Jesus. He loves you so much, he gave his life for you.
Amen.
Willingly. Though he despised the shame, yet he learned obedience to the things he suffered.
Amen.
And he died for you. He completed everything that's required from God to redeem your soul. Oh, to stand before him, to explain why we rejected that gift of grace to the Lamb of God himself. Oh, what a miserable day. What a terrible day that is going to be. Are you right with God? Are you saved? Are you born again? Do you know that you know that you know you're saved? Let's all stand, every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm glad to report to you, if you don't know, you can know. Amen. I'm glad to know that I'm saved. I'm glad to know, amen, I have no fear. I have no doubt. I have no concern in my heart this morning. No alarm is going off inside of the recesses of my soul concerning my eternal destination. I know that I will be known of him. You know how? Because of the relationship that I have with the Lord. He knows me. He knows my name. I've heard him speak my name. I've heard him deal with my heart. Oh, as he's chastened me. Oh, as he's conformed me. As he's convicted me. As he's drawn me. Oh, bless his name. Praise God, I know him. And he knows me. I can't do wrong and get by. That's a part of being a son of God.
Right.
He's not left me to myself. I didn't just get saved and just say, praise God, I'm not going to hell. And that's all there is to it. No, no, no. No, God's given me a life to live.
Yes.
A purpose for waking up in the morning.
Yes.
A desire to please him. I'm telling you, if God's never done that work in your heart, you're missing out on the greatest thing, the greatest life that you could ever live, being saved. Death is sure. Death could be soon. It could be sudden. Death is no respecter of persons. And I'm not trying to scare anyone. I'm telling you the reality of life. life is fickle and it's frail. In just a moment, you can step out of time into eternity to meet God. Are you ready? Are you ready? Oh, to die and go to hell, rejecting such grace. He showed up this morning.
Yes.
He's passed by your way. He's dealing with hearts. Oh, please don't let him pass you by. Call out to him. Call out to him. He's faithful and just to save you from your sin and to keep you from the awful place of hell. And get your name in the book of life this morning. And have hope of life after this. Preacher, you come. They're making their way to play the music. Sing a song of invitation. Please, won't you come? Please don't play games. Please don't play games. This is eternity. This is forever. And it depends on the decision that you make right now.